All right, the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 27. And I want to read a few verses here, then we'll pray. Try to preach as the Lord directs our heart today. And I'm thankful for all the songs. And Lord, been stirring this passage in my heart for a number of days. And then the Lord just let the song service fall in place as it has this morning. And I'm thankful how he does that. I still get amazed at that, to be honest with you. Hadn't told nobody what I was preaching on, but God just began leading the song service about the cross. We're going to look here a little bit this morning. Matthew chapter 27, you will and able stand. Matthew chapter 27, I'll begin reading in verse number 15. Matthew chapter 27 and beginning in verse number 15. The Bible says, now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a noble prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity to assemble in your house. I pray now as we look into your word, may our heart be open, may our heart be tender for the word of God. I ask you now, Lord, in that name which is above every name, the name of Jesus, that you'd bind every opposing force of the enemy. Lord, we know that there's people tired in body, but yet, Lord, we know there is a demonic warfare, how that the devils and the devil himself would like us to be sidetracked, that our minds would be closed, our ears would be closed out to the preaching of the gospel. But Lord, you've chosen the gospel message how to save that which is lost. Help us, I pray, in declaring the truth of the scripture. Save that soul that's lost. Help us as your people. And I pray you'll be exalted and magnified in all we see and do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to preach this morning out of these verses by the help of the Lord on this subject of Jesus took my place. Jesus took my place. Now, I do know that for the last month I have hung around the cross quite a bit as we've been preaching through Psalm 22. But I'll say this, and I thought about it for the last few days, knowing this is what's stirring in my heart. I sure don't apologize for staying around the cross. The gospel message, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is simply the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That is the gospel. All else we preach is a part of the truth of the scripture. But when we say we preach the gospel, then it must be the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We find in this passage a man by the name of Barabbas. And there's some things I want to look about with him this morning. By the way, can I say all of us, my friend, we are Barabbases this morning. How Christ, as the songs have said, friend there at Calvary. You say, preacher, how, when they sung the song a moment ago, I've been to Calvary, how can that be true? Hey, it's because your sin, my sin, nailed him to the cross. Hey, I promise you this, he knew you before you ever knew about him. Amen. Hey, friend, today we find in Matthew 27, this great chapter on the crucifixion, and Barabbas is here, and Jesus is here, and here's Pilate now. We know in the early morning hours they brought him to Pilate, and Pilate said, take him to Herod, and Herod sent him back to Pilate, and now in the early hours of this day, he stands there, and Pilate is trying to suffice everybody. Trying to make friends with everybody. He gives them a choice between Barabbas and Jesus. Somebody said one time, boy, if I'd been there, I'd said, give us Jesus. No, you wouldn't have. You'd been no different. I'd been no different than that crowd that day. They didn't want the Son of God. They rejected the Son of God. Hey, before you are saved, I'm going to tell you, listen to me. That old nature in us didn't want God. The old nature wants to do its own thing. Do as it pleases. But friend, I'm telling you, had Christ not come, man would have went to hell without hope. Amen. Oh, friend, we find Barabbas. And we see Jesus took his place and Jesus took our place. Now, three things and I'm done. First of all, I want us to look at Barabbas' sins just a minute. Now, in our text, it doesn't list anything, but remember, as I've been stressing of late, you need to compare Scripture with Scripture. We find in all our four Gospels, Barabbas is mentioned. And each account gives us some more insight to who Barabbas was. You see, Barabbas was guilty of insurrection. He was guilty of murder, guilty of sedition, guilty of being a robber, a thief, friend. You see, here's what the Bible said. The Bible declares in Mark chapter 15 and verse 7, and there was one named Barabbas which lay bound with them that made insurrection with him who had committed murder in the insurrection. Luke chapter number 23 and verse 19 talks about Barabbas for a certain sedition made in the city for a murder was cast into prison. Verse 25, in the middle part it said there, unto him that for sedition and murder were cast into prison. The Bible said over then John chapter 18 and verse 40, then cried they all again saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Hey, we have the list of the sins, a partial list of the sins of this man, Barabbas. He is not a guiltless man. He's a guilty man. Now, do you understand what's happening here? Here this man in prison, caught guilty, and yet the crowd and the religious folk of the day, hello, even the religious people are wanting Barabbas, who is guilty, who has committed great sin, and a man that's sinless is being rejected and the sinner is chosen. Amen. Hey, can I say to you today, and I'm going to take my time, I'm going to preach a little bit as God the Holy Ghost leads me. I understand something. In our day, people don't want to believe it. I'm telling you, there's lost folk on church pews every service. Just because you join the church, just because you know the religious talk, doesn't make you a Christian. Amen. Hey, you can hang around an independent Baptist church and learn how to talk, learn how to dress, learn how to worship, all these exterior things, and your heart still be lost without God. Oh yeah, the Bible says this about all sinners, and we all are sinners. The Bible said in Romans 3, and beginning in verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, all are under sin. Verse 10, as it is written, listen to me now, there is none righteous, no, not one. Oh, preacher, I do religious deeds. You're not righteous. You're unrighteous. Isaiah said your righteousness has filthy rags. Oh, you see, to go to heaven, you got to be as righteous as God is righteous. It ain't being righteous in the sight of men. It's being righteous in the sight of God. Amen. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Well, that kind of busts the bubble. Those say, I was looking for the Lord. You didn't look for the Lord till he first looked for you. Amen. And nobody is interested in God till by the Holy Ghost, he comes looking for you. Amen. The Bible goes on to say, there is none that see after God. Verse 12, they're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Oh, but preacher, so-and-so's a good man. So-and-so's a good woman. There is none good. Nobody here is good. Amen. I stress it all the time, and I don't apologize either. The reason you call somebody good because how they treated you. Nod your little heads like this. Because that's right. Them that ain't treat you the way you think you ought to be treated, they sorry low down rotten devils. Amen. But oh, they made me feel important. Boy, they done this for me. We call them good. But the Bible said there's none good. You take God out of your life and there's nothing good about you. Amen. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher where their tongues have used deceit. The poison of aspis under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. What about that? Destruction and misery are in their ways. You remember being lost? You remember being miserable? Amen. You know, one of the best things ever happened to me is when I got under conviction. But while I was under conviction, it wasn't fun. I didn't like it at that moment. But after I got born again, I said, thank you, Lord, for convicting my heart. Let me see I was condemned. Let me see I was a sinner. Oh, friend, you see, I was miserable, even if I didn't know it at the time. Amen. Then he goes on to say, listen to verse 17, and the way of peace have they not known. Now I want to ask everybody, look at me just a minute. Do you know anything about real peace in your heart? Amen. I do. I want to tell you that night, though I was a 10-year-old boy, when God gloriously saved me, and by the way, he gloriously saves everybody gets saved. Amen. When I got saved, man, I felt something moving in on the inside. I found out later the Holy Ghost was taking up his abode in my heart. And peace like a river. Oh, bless his name, began to flood my soul. And there's been some dark days in my life, been some hard places. But I found when I sit still and be quiet, man, there's peace from yonder's world that floods my heart. Oh, I know something now about peace, thank God. You see, as a lost man, they don't know nothing about peace. They can talk about happiness because happiness based on happenings. When the boy, they got a raise, they're happy, but they don't know peace. I'm glad as a child of God, I now know peace. When I was lost, there's no peace on the inside. Amen. Look at verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And we wonder why folk doing what they're doing. No fear of God. The Bible clearly said that about a lost man. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty out before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You're not getting saved. You're not saved by keeping the law. Preacher, I'm keeping the law best I can. That ain't good enough. Because number one, you can't keep it. Now, just because you ain't guilty of one or two of the laws, Jesus even took care of all that. He said, you break it in one point, you're guilty of all of it. Amen. Hey, as a sinner, You cannot be justified by the law. The law, Paul said in the book of Galatians, was our schoolmaster bringing us to Christ. See, there's nothing wrong with the law. It's perfect. It's holy. The law is what gave the knowledge of sin. By the law, I found I was a sinner. By the law, I see only God is righteous and holy. That law brought me to Christ. But it was Christ that saved me. Amen. Oh, you're not saved by the deeds of the law, but by grace through faith. Amen. Hey, the blood of Christ gives forgiveness for sin today. Oh, then verse 23, it clearly says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, everybody look at me a minute. You look the word all up in English, Greek, Hebrew, Russian, Spanish, whatever you want to look it up in, it means all. No exceptions. Oh, preacher, I know they're all sinners. You are too. Amen. Oh, as Sister Amy said, dealing with the cross one day, she realized he died for me. That's the same way. I cannot, Brother Tim, recall a time that I didn't know who Jesus was. I can't recall that. I can't recall a time I didn't know that he died on the cross and he rose again. I've always known that, but I've not always been saved. Amen. But I do know this. As a 9.5-year-old boy in a Sunday school class, with a teacher holding the Bible in her hand, tears are dripping off her face, talking to us about getting saved. I remember that day the Holy Ghost revealed to me it wasn't just for the rest of the world, but it's for me Jesus died. It's for me Jesus rose again. I'm telling you, it's a blessed day when God reveals that to you. Amen. Whoa, our sins are many, yet the Son of God was sinless, friend. Amen. We see Barabbas' sins. Secondly, I'll look at Barabbas' sentence just a minute. The Bible in our text, Matthew 27, verse 15, 16. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release and the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a noble prisoner called Barabbas. He's a prisoner, not just to serve time, but he's a prisoner waiting on crucifixion. Hey, in the Roman government, You didn't get a slap on the wrist. If they caught you murder, insurrection, seditionist, Barabbas was, you got crucified. They'd hang you on a cross, nail you there till you died. And listen to this, a lot of times they just let you stay there and rot. Amen. Oh, friend, understand, Barabbas has been sentenced to death. He's guilty. There's no trial. They know he's guilty. They're just waiting on the day to carry out the sentence. Can I say this and remind you of a great truth? Sinners are condemned to die already. That's right. The Bible tells us in the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Sinners are condemned already. Well, preacher, I'm not in hell yet. You're waiting for the day the sentence will be carried out. Between there, this time and there, there's opportunity to get saved. I'm so glad I'm so glad when the Spirit of God spoke to me. I repented. I confessed. I called upon God. And he said, I'm glad I don't have to go to hell now. See, I'm part of that verse. Those that believe are not condemned. We're not condemned. We are saved. Amen. Condemnation's gone. I didn't understand this as a 10-year-old boy when I got saved, because when I was under conviction, there's so much guilt that I felt the condemnation of God on me. It was so heavy on me. But the instant I got saved, oh yeah, just lifted all at one moment. Saved. Forgiven, no longer condemned. I'm telling you, friend, I remember the very moment that I got birthed in the family of God. Hey, this thing ain't make-believe. It's real. Amen. I was condemned. I was going to hell. But then I called out for mercy, and he saved me. And now I'm no longer condemned. Hey, the Bible said in Ezekiel 18, verse 4 and 20, it said this, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Hey, have you sinned? Oh, yeah, you have. Oh, preacher, I ain't killed nobody. I ain't got nothing about killing anybody. It's about sin. All unrighteous is sin. That which is not of faith is sin. Amen. Hey, and we were condemned already. I want to read you some verses in Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter 20 and beginning in verse 11. I've not preached out these in a while, but I want to read every one of them. He said in Revelation 20 and verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hey, there's coming the day that the sentence will be carried out. You say, preacher, you read that death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. They are. Well, preacher, then hell must not be a bad place. Hey, understand something right here. I'm going to give you a natural illustration. These men with law enforcement know this is true. Brother Bill from working in the prison said, no, this is right. You are just as incarcerated in a county jail than as you are in the state pen. You hear me? There is fire and suffering in hell, which according to scriptures in the heart of the earth. But one day they're going to be taken out of the, what we'd say, the county jail, and place in the maximum security prison, the lake of fire. So hell's just as forever as the lake of fire. So don't let nobody play with words. Amen. They're going to be thrown into the lake of fire, and you'll suffer and you'll burn for it, and you don't burn up. By the way, by the time those verses, Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, takes place, back before this, you hear me? Right before the millennial reign, the Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown in the lake of fire. Well, 1,000 years later, they are still burning. They didn't burn up. Don't you let anybody feed you the lie that you'll be annihilated in hell or the lake of fire. You're going to suffer forever. You ain't getting out of it. Amen. That's the teaching of the scriptures. And a man, the only way to miss the fire of judgment is to get born again. Amen. Hey, friend, we find Barabbas is sins, Barabbas is sinners. But then I see, thirdly, Barabbas is substitute. Barabbas didn't deserve this. And by the way, I've preached these texts many times in 32 years. But I got a hold of something today. I've always knew about this substitute, but here's what I got afresh today. Barabbas didn't have anybody standing there begging the crowd to help him. He was not asking Jesus to take his place. Jesus taking it willingly. Amen. Before, listen to this. Don't make me a Calvinist. It's a Bible believer statement. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus was that lamb slain. Hey, it wasn't when all else failed, then God sent us in. Oh, no. Plan A, and only one plan, has always been that Jesus Christ would come in the world to die in our place, to pay our sin debt. Hey, that's always been the plan of God. Amen. Hey, Jesus, he took Barabbas' place, though Barabbas wasn't even asking him to. You see, those folks, they say, I don't even want to believe in Jesus. I don't think he did all that. Don't matter. He's still the substitute. Amen. See, Barabbas is in jail waiting to die. Though he's hardened, he knows, I'm going to get crucified. I'm going to be crucified. Every guard that went up and down the hall where Barabbas is incarcerated would say, your day's coming, boy. We're going to crucify you. You're going to die for what you've done. Amen. But see, he didn't know the early morning hours of this day. He'd went to sleep that night. Whew. I'm going to die in the morning. It's over with tomorrow. The jailer done said, Jordan, day's up. You're going to die. We'll crucify you. Right there in the jail, he didn't know. Throughout the night, the Son of God, he didn't even go to sleep. He'd been in a mockery religious trial. Then he'd come to Pilate, went to Herod, back to Pilate. Hey, he didn't know anything about that. Oh, why, he's wondering, when are they going to come get me? There's one already stepped in his place that he doesn't even know. Oh, yes. Hey, you see something? I want to stress something to you. Jesus was sinless. He didn't sin. And I want you to get this in your heart. He could not sin. Amen. Oh, you say, but he is in flesh. Yeah, but he is virgin born. His blood came from his father who was who? God. Not Joseph. Not a Roman soldier, not some other Jew, but the blood in the vein of Christ was holy blood, divine blood, sinless blood, righteous blood. Hey, he was without sin. Hey, even right here in these scriptures leading up to the cross in chapter 26 and verse 4, even old Judas said, I betrayed the innocent blood. Pilate's wife in Matthew 27:19 said, have thou nothing to do with that just man? Verse number 24, Pilate said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. They couldn't find nothing wrong with him. Can I also tell you this? The inscription above their head, all of them had that. It lets you know why they was crucified. There's two men on either side of Christ, as you read on in this chapter. They're thieves. Bible very plainly. You know what's above their head? Thief. Thief. They're guilty. They're caught. They're sentenced. They're dying for what they did. That's right. Barabbas would have said above his head, insurrection, sedition, murder, thief. That's what it would have said. But he didn't go to that cross. Amen. What's said above the head of Christ? You take all four gospels, put it together. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. What an indictment. He is King. He ain't only king of the Jews, but he's king of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Hey, there, Jesus, who was sinless, by the way, the Bible declares in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:21, for it made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hey, no sin of himself, but he took your sin, took my sin. Bore it to the cross, nailed it to the cross. Handwriting ordinance against us, he nailed it. He blotted it out. Amen. Jesus was a substitute. They cried, give us Barabbas. We want Barabbas. Pilate said, what do you want me to do then with this man Jesus called Christ? And they cried, crucify him, crucify him. A sinless man, a holy man, a man that's done nothing but good, a man that's raised the dead and opened the eyes of the blind and fed multitudes. Let's crucify him. I can imagine, I told you, Barabbas is in his cell, and in my mind's eye, this is the day he's gonna die. And here's them guards coming down the hallway, headed toward his cell. Hear that armor chinking and them boots are clanking on the floor. And no doubt Barabbas saying, I'm a dead man. I'm a dead man. They're going to get me. They're going to crucify me. And that old guard opens up that lock and said, oh boy, you're not dying today. Hey, somebody else took your place. Amen. You can go free. Yeah, you're guilty of every bit of it. We know you're guilty. He said, but hey, there's one took your place. Can I tell you something? You're guilty. You're guilty. There ain't no need to lie to yourself and everybody. You're guilty. But somebody took your place. Somebody took your punishment. Somebody took your hell. Somebody that loved you before you ever knew of him, I took your place as your substitute on Calvary that day. Oh, friend, the Lord has sent you this place today and put me in a pulpit to tell you, Jesus took your place. You don't have to go to hell if you'll turn to Christ. Turn from your sin, turn to Christ. Trust the finished work of Calvary in the empty tomb. You can be saved. Amen. Let me read something. Let me go back to, look over in Romans with me. Go to chapter 10 of Romans. I'm just going to read it verbatim. Would that be all right? I can quote it. And you can quote it too, but I'm going to read it right, just word for word without quoting. In Romans chapter 10 and beginning in verse 9. The Bible said that if thou, now, for you that have heard them bunch of liberals attack the King James Bible for these and thous and yees, I want to help you with something. In John chapter 3, when he's talking to Nicodemus, he said, marvel not that I said unto thee. And then he said this, ye must be born again. When he said, Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, thee and thou, he's speaking to one person. He's directly talking to one person. Thee, you, Nicodemus. Ye must. That word ye is talking more than one. You and everybody else. Hello, you and everybody else must be born again. Well, he said that if thou, you won't do any harm to Scripture, you can write your name above that. But here's the key, if. That means in this good old country talk, the ball's in your court. Jesus has already done all to make salvation possible. It's all complete. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's you. That's you. You can be saved. Jesus paid your debt. Jesus took your place. If you go to hell, you wind up in the lake of fire. It's your own choice and your own fault. You sat here today, you watching me by internet today, you heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Jesus died. They placed him in Joseph's tomb, buried him, put a stone in front of the door. But 3 days and three nights later, in a body, he left that tomb. Resurrected. Just like he said he would. They're going nuts. I go crazy this time of year with TV. Finding Jesus. Who's the Jesus of the Bible? And on and on. And all them shows are about is trying to cast doubt. Trying to tear down the truth of the gospel. I'm going to tell you something. You better listen to this old mountain preacher this morning. Jesus Christ died for your sin according to the gospel. And he rose again according to the gospel. And he's alive forevermore. He ain't dead no more. He ain't never going to die again. I know that's just good old country talk. But he'll never have to die again. He lives. They want to find Jesus. I can tell them where he's at. Amen. You say, I don't know if I'm real. They ain't nobody's big of God going to get on the inside of you and you not know it. You know it when he comes in. I'm telling you, it don't matter who preaches. They ain't going to make me doubt my salvation. I love Brother Sammy Allen, one of the greatest preachers I know in America, quote more Bible. Son, there's people scared to death sitting under Sammy Allen. They go to doubt, won't get saved 14 times. Not me. Why? It's settled. It's settled. The transaction's done and finished. It's over. Saved, washed in the blood. My name's in his book. I'll never go to hell. Why? I got saved. That's how real it is. You say, preach, I'd like to have that kind of confidence. You can. You can. I'm going to tell you something. You hear me this morning. There are a lot of folk who doubt, and I know that. You say, preach, have you ever had doubts? I've had times of it. But I can tell you when it was. It's when times I wasn't walking with him like I ought to. When I wasn't walking with him like I should, it's hard to have real confidence and real peace when you're walking contrary to what the Lord told you to do. Amen. But then there's other folk that doubt, and the only problem is, here's reality. You just ain't never got saved. Some of you went to the altar because somebody else did. Some of you went to the altar because somebody asked you to. You didn't, wasn't nothing going on in your heart. You wasn't interested really getting saved. You went down there, got up, preacher shook head, said, what happened to you? Well, you heard everybody else say got saved, so you should have got saved. Some of you didn't get that. Some of you may went to them, those real bad liberal churches where you go down there and say, all right, let them join up. Don't talk to them about it. So they come for want to join a church. All you got is a church certificate of church membership. And you've been baptized. Hey, you better be born again. It better be set on your heart. There's a lot of folk here that tell you they were lost church members at one time. And they'll tell you this, they knew it. They're trying to convince themselves that it's all right, and they'll tell you that now too. But in their heart, they knew he wasn't there. He wasn't there. Here, I'm gonna give you a real. I want you here. This is a real good test. Good test. All you gotta do is say, "I'm saved." And then, if you are on the inside, there's somebody answer back. Yeah, you are. Because the Holy Ghost is the one bears witness with our spirit. He's there as that witness. Yeah, you belong to him. transaction's done, settled. Christ took your place. You can be saved today. You don't have to go to hell if you'll come to Christ and be saved. Father, take a very, Lord, simple in the eyes of the world, but most powerful message that's ever been preached, that Jesus took our place. Lord, seal it to the hearts of your people. And Lord, that that's lost, I pray this morning, the Holy Ghost would do that office work of conviction. And Lord, they see that for them as an individual, you died, was buried and rose again. All for our offenses, raised for our justification. We thank you for it today. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to ask you a question today. You that are not saved, you know you're not saved. You're concerned about your soul now. If you lift your hands and say, "Preacher, I'm lost. And I know I'm lost." And you slip your hand up. I see that young hand. Somebody else, "Preacher, I'm lost. Not going to play, not going to pretend. I'm lost, preacher. Lost." I see that young hand. You must be born again. Today is the day of salvation. I felt the Holy Ghost touch me to preach this morning. I believe with all my heart, somebody right here, beyond these young hands that's gone up, lost right here this morning. I'm glad when you get saved, Jesus makes a change in your life. I'm going to ask you to stand. This altar's open. You could be burdened by somebody lost. You want to come pray? You're welcome. You may be burdened by something else. Altar's always open to God's people. But I'm begging you that's lost this morning. God's revealed that fact that you're lost and you need Christ. I want you to come. Let the Lord save you. He'll save you the day. While we sing, this altar's open.